A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports. He's on X at David W. Cobb. He joins now via the phone line. David, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well, Gabe. You know, I'm sitting here taking a little break now from the Xbox since you called. Probably good, though, to build in some breaks because I'm going to be spending a lot of time playing this Xbox. And in fact, I'm actually glad I'm not at SEC Media Days. I'm glad it's in Dallas. I'm glad they moved that thing to the other side of the country because I've got stuff to do this week.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Have you committed, by the way, to your online dynasty, who you're going to pick? Are you going to play with Tennessee?
Well, what happened is I went in an online dynasty with some of my buddies, and a lot of them are Tennessee fans. And so, naturally, the Vols went off the board pretty quick. Somehow, I ended up with Kentucky.
All right.
Yeah, not real fired up about
it. Ew! What is wrong with you?
I'm a Brock Vandegrift fan, so hey, why not?
Have some self-respect,
Play a little defense. Run the ball pretty well. See if Brock Vandegrift has it.
Well, you know what? In this online dynasty, everyone's going to try to recruit the elite skill position players, and I'm going to be out here recruiting
trenches. Yes, sir.
Power running backs. I'm going to recruit tight ends, and we're going to play some smash mouth football and win some games up at Kentucky.
I love it. That's awesome. So you've already cracked it open. How is it though? Your first play.
Solid. I'm really impressed with the gameplay. It feels natural. The one thing I loved, I used to run the halfback slip screen all the time in the old game, especially getting a second and long, third and long. You know, you just...
That's predictable play calling, David. Come on now. Come on.
Well, I'm just saying it works well in this game. I know that no fan of real football loves it when their offensive coordinator calls the screen, unless it works.
Right.
But the screen in the new video game, it executes exactly like it did in the old version. So that felt really nice to me. It felt intuitive when I picked up the controller.
Well, you have to catch them in a blitz, and also you have to have some movable offensive line. You have to have some Gabe Kunz out there leading the way.
Well, you were more of an interior. I think of like. So how what does the screen look like from an offensive lineman's perspective? Like, what's your job on that running back?
You sell pass. You take your pass sets, sell pass, and then you club the guy by, and you get out in the open field. Use some athleticism. That's what it's like. So the tackle and the guard are the lead guys, and then what we do with the center usually they're we like to call it the rat killer. where you take out any of the D linemen that are trying to retrace their steps to go tackle that screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Man, that's a lot of mental processing to go through in like 1.5 seconds. But you know what? That's why you played college football and I play video games.
I hear you. Know, SEC Media Day is rolling along right now. Sounds like Greg Sankey is, even with all the ACC litigation and the disarray going on with the ACC with Florida State and Clemson, it sounds like he is about as comfortable with what he has with the 16 teams, with Oklahoma and Texas being added, as anybody in the country. And he should be. He should be comfortable.
Right, yeah, no doubt. Like, he seemed real pleased with the SEC's progress and its position today, and pretty set on where they're at for now. I also didn't get the sense, though, that he's in any way closed the door on Florida State and Clemson. In fact, I thought he had a kind of interesting quote at the podium today where he said something to the effect of, in deference to my colleagues in the ACC and to Jim Phillips, right, like, I am not going to say a whole lot more, which is basically, I'm reading that and thinking, Greg Sankey's telling us that, yeah, he would be interested in Florida State and Clemson, but in the interest of collegiality and maintaining a cordial relationship with the ACC, he's not going to come out and say that. Mm-hmm. And let's say that Florida State and Clemson, they don't break out of the ACC and they stick in that league somehow. Then I think Greg Sankey and the SEC are fine at 16. They've got a good looking conference right now. So, but I didn't interpret his remarks to mean that they have no interest in,
sure,
any future expansion.
But I think what I took away is, he doesn't want to get involved or put his hand in with all the litigation going back and forth. I imagine there's a lot of conference commissioners, presidents, chancellors that are in that boat when talking about the ACC and expansion with some of those teams. You just don't want to get involved with all the litigation that's going back and forth.
Right, and that's what's going on in the ACC, is a bunch of lawsuits right now. And that's somebody else's problem, because Greg Sankey's got enough problems of his own, because he's one of the leaders in this House settlement that's going on. And, you know, we've kind of put that whole story to rest, the lawsuit that's actually going to end up, you know, leading to player compensation and the revenue sharing model. And that's old news now, but they still have to get the terms of that settlement approved by a judge. And that there's some contention over exactly what those terms are going to look like, and Greg Sankey's knee deep in all of that, so he has no room to start getting involved in the ACC's litigation. He's paying enough lawyers to help him out with all the House settlement. So, yeah, that was obviously one of the bigger talking points as well today from Greg Sankey, is just the ongoing mess of college athletics and all the lawsuits that are a part of that picture right now.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna give you my top five order of finish in the SEC. You ready for this?
Okay.
All right. Let's go. Top five. I threw in LSU at 5, Ole Miss 4, 3 Alabama, 2 Texas, 1 Georgia. That's what I did. So again, 5 LSU, 4 Ole Miss, 3 Alabama, 2 Texas, 1 Georgia. Any issues with that top five?
No real issues. I really highly agree with your top two. I think it's pretty clear right now that Georgia and Texas are ahead of the rest of the conference, and I would have Georgia even a good bit ahead of Texas. Like, it's 1A for Georgia, 1B for Texas, but that's there's a distance between 1A and 1B for me. And then, yeah, you go from there. I think you pretty much got it right. LSU is the big wild card in that question.
Sure.
You got them at 5. That's a lot of faith in the LSU defense. It's a lot of faith in
Blake Baker. I'm buying into the Blake Baker hype train.
Well, it's a good hire. It's a good hire, but are the players good enough for them to make those significant strides? But I'm with you. I mean, Blake Baker turned Missouri's defense from atrocious to competent, and then from competent to really good in short order. So if LSU can make that jump from incompetent to competent, with Blake Baker, and if Garrett Nussmeier is as good as we think he's going to be at quarterback, then yeah, LSU is going to be in that upper echelon of the conference. But you know, there's a few maybes there that still kind of have to play themselves out.
No, and I think, like, at number five, that was the toughest one, right? I think Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas, Georgia, most people would have in some level, some order. But, like, I think there's a group of Mizzou, LSU, Oklahoma, Tennessee that could all compete for number five in the conference. I think it's going to be pretty jumbled up around there.
Yeah, the other team, wild card team, that I might throw into that conversation would be Texas A&M.
Okay.
We'll see. Talk about a team like, you know, obviously LSU has unknowns. I mean, Texas A&M probably has more unknowns than even, you know, in LSU. But I do believe that Mike Elko is a sneaky, under-the-radar, quiet, good hire. He's the opposite of Jimbo. He's the defensive coach. He's not flashy. He's just a ball coach. And if Connor Weigman can be the type of quarterback we thought he was going to be before he got hurt last year, then, you know, A&M could kind of sneak into that conversation to be one of those 9-3 sort of teams, right? Maybe dark horse playoff contender type.
I think outside of the top eight, and I was just talking off air with Connor, a little bit on air as well, I think outside of the top eight, there's a lot of 7-5 and lower, right? Like, A&M's the only team that I'd have in my bottom eight that I think could reach that 8-4, 9-3 level. I just don't see, you know, the Floridas of the world, teams like that. I think there's a lot of 7-5 and lower in the bottom half of this conference.
Well, for sure. And it's like, all right, let's say if Arkansas goes 6-6, is that enough for Sam Pittman to save his job?
That would be a good year, in my opinion, for Arkansas this year.
It would be. And you kind of have that same conversation with South Carolina. I mean, I think Shane Beamer, 6-6, should give him another year. He's going to be starting a redshirt freshman at quarterback. And, you know, so, I mean, but yeah, there's some teams like you're right, like 6-6, 7-5, going to be a lot of that. But for some teams, that's more significant or more of an accomplishment than for others. For Florida, 6-6 and 7-5 is pretty dang good. But if you're Auburn and you're Hugh Freeze and you only do 6-6 or 7-5, it's like, man,
right.
Is this really all that much better than Brian Harsin?
Yeah, no, I hear that. Now, one team that I'm having trouble with, just because of how much they lost on the defensive side of the ball, and their DC, Mizzou. What do you think about Mizzou? And Cody Schrader, leading rusher in the SEC, is gone as well.
Well, I think they're going to be electric offensively. I mean, Brady Cook's a top half of the league quarterback. Luther Burden, probably the best receiver in the league. I don't think they're going to have any problem scoring points. And they got Kirby Moore back. Because you remember, Eli Drinkwitz kind of gave up the play calling responsibilities.
Yeah.
And it worked out really nicely for him last year.
Yes.
But the Blake Baker loss to LSU is tough. I mean, that's one thing that kind of separates Missouri and Ole Miss in my mind. Because they're very similar teams. Neither of them are historical powers, but they're both coming off of 11-2 seasons, New Year's Six victories. They both have these offensive-minded head coaches who have done a really good job and think they're, you know, in position to make the playoff this year. But the difference is Ole Miss at least brings back their defensive coordinator with Pete Golding.
Did well in the transfer portal.
And yeah, they added really good defensive players in the transfer portal. And then you look at Missouri's defense, and the cupboard isn't bare. It's not empty, but they didn't make those impact additions. You feel like they probably lost more than they gained.
100%. I mean, you lost a first-round DN, both your starting cornerbacks, even though one was hurt for most of the season, Tyron Hopper at linebacker. You just lost a safety late in the NFL draft. You just lost so much. You lost five, six starters on the defensive side of the ball and your DC. It's hard for me to imagine them being a top 40 group. Like, I can make a case for, like, LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas being able to replace that type of talent year after year. But, and I know Mizzou's doing better in the recruiting rankings, and they're doing a lot better on the recruiting trail, but it's hard for me to imagine Mizzou being able to not miss a step like some of these other programs having lost that much talent.
Well, I think they're going to miss a step, but I don't know that it's going to show up in their record. They don't have to play Georgia. They don't have to play Texas. Their marquee non-conference game is Boston College.
Right.
Like, I mean, so it may be a team that's not as good as last year's Missouri team, but it may end up with a similar record because I think they probably have the most advantageous schedule in the conference.
Right.
You don't have to play Texas or Georgia. They also don't have to play LSU. So it's a really favorable schedule, I think, for Missouri. And that's going to give them a chance to mask some of that defensive regression to a certain extent.
And then the opposite of that is Florida, where I think that they're going to have a better team all said and done, but I don't think that'll show in the record. I think that that's a 6-6, 7-5 at the best team, just because it might be the hardest schedule I've seen in my lifetime.
Funny you mention that, Gabe. I've got a story that comes out tomorrow. Is Florida's schedule the toughest schedule of all time? And it's an interesting topic of conversation.
I mean,
the 1899 Suwannee Tigers probably have the toughest of all time. They played 5 games in 6 days, all on the road, traveling by train.
Yes.
But, I mean, if we're talking about actual, like, modern-day college football, I think you can absolutely make the case that this Florida schedule is the toughest of all time.
Not to ruin it, because it's going to come out tomorrow, but who did you find that was even, like, in that realm?
Well, you'd be surprised. Like, if you really dig in, there are some teams that have played schedules consisting exclusively of power conference teams. So back in the Pete Carroll era, for example, there was a USC team early on in his tenure that only played power conference teams during the course of a 12-game regular season. So that's sort of the conversation we're having with Florida right now, is they're playing 11 power conference teams. So there are 8 SEC games, and then 3 of their 4 non-conference games are against power conference opponents, and Samford is their only gimme. But there have been a handful who have played 12 power conference opponents over the course of the season. But my number 2 on this list is LSU in 2011, because they played Oregon, Alabama, and Arkansas, all of whom finished ranked in the top 5, and they beat all 3 of them. Mm-hmm. So that was my number 2 team on this list. But yeah, there's 6 that I highlight as being kind of in that conversation with 2024 Florida for toughest schedule of all time.
Another discussion I had before I had you on, Nick Saban was talking about Texas, and I think he's been phenomenal. He had to get his credential on, though. He's never worn a credential in his life. We learned that today. But he said on Texas, he said, what kind of tickles me is all these people asking questions about how Texas always ran the conference they were in. They're not going to run the SEC. Now, one, yes, I don't think that they are going to, quote-unquote, run the SEC. But I think when Nick Saban's saying it, don't we have to, like, kind of switch the definition? Like, Nick Saban running the SEC is unlike anything we've seen in college football history. That's running the SEC. I think we need to have a lower bar, right? Like, there just needs to be a different way of looking at this besides through the eyes of Nick Saban running the SEC.
Well, I loved what he said. I think there is this idea that oh, wow, look, Texas is entering the SEC, and in year 1, the SEC is bringing media days to Texas because Texas is that influential and that impactful. And you've seen all of the, like, Quinn Ewers had a quote a couple of weeks ago, something to the effect of, oh, we know we're the biggest game on everyone's schedule. And it's like, dude, no, you're not. Like, yeah, there's going to be a certain novelty effect of Texas coming to play in some of these SEC venues, and the opposing fan bases will be really hyped the first time that Texas comes through. And that's natural, but yeah, I think for Florida, the game against Georgia is still going to mean more. I think for Alabama, the Iron Bowl is still going to mean more. And that's just different. So from that standpoint, no. I mean, Texas isn't going to run the league. And then I thought it was funny, though. I mean, Nick Saban said this, that, you know, he kind of had this shot at Texas a little bit, kind of lowered their pride, and then he went and picked Georgia versus Texas.
Right, for
his SEC championship matchup. So, you know, I get it. Like, they're going to have a really good team this year. But over the long run, over the long haul, Texas isn't going to run the SEC, and they didn't even run the Big 12. I mean, last season was their first Big 12 title since 2009. And so, I mean, you know, Texas thinks they run the world. They think they run every conference that they're in, but they don't.
But one thing I can't ignore, they have all the makings to be able to be that type of team, though. I mean, like, just looking at how they recruit, the fertile recruiting ground they're on, I think Sark's done a good job. You have also guys waiting in the wings. I mean, Arch Manning is the backup right now to Quinn Ewers. Like, they have some sustainability, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They have donors and a fan base that's hungry and fits in with the SEC as far as being ready to go spend money. I think they have the makings to be a team like that. I'm not saying they're going to do that. They have a lot more competition now. Kirby Smart is probably the person I would put my money on to be the – and Georgia to be the team, the school, the coach that runs the SEC. But I'm not going to discount Texas going into the future. I can't do it. I just feel feel like they have a level of sustainability we haven't seen from them since the early 2000s.
Yeah, but now the competition is increasingly more difficult. And, you know, I think Texas is in a better position right now than they have been since Vince Young was the quarterback. I mean, that's, you know, going on two decades now. But it's going to be tougher. I mean, it just means more, right?
Like, yeah.
Here's the thing that I keep pointing out that I'm not sure, like, we have a full grasp on yet, is the fact that, and maybe I've mentioned this to you before, but I think it's worth highlighting, you know, when Texas went on the road in the Big 12, it was going to Kansas and Ames, Iowa, and
yeah.
Lubbock. You know,
yes.
And they never even had to go to Norman because they always played Oklahoma on a neutral. Well, now you look at their first year schedule in the SEC, and they've got to go to Arkansas, and they got to go to Texas A&M, and those are going to be environments that are, I think, going to be far in excess more difficult than really anything they encountered in the Big 12 because they never played at Oklahoma. They always played Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl. So I'm not saying that Lubbock can't get rowdy or that Kansas State can't get rowdy, but it's going to be on a new level when they go on the road in this conference.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, talking with David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, CBS writer, college football and college basketball is what he covers. Now, I saw this today, kind of sad, for the second time now. Looks like Jeff Tedford, who's been phenomenal coach wherever he's been, Fresno and Cal, discovered Aaron Rodgers. He has a over 600 career winning percentage. He's really good coach, but he had to step down for the second time due to health concerns at Fresno State. So now it looks like Tim Skipper, one of his assistant coaches, is going to take over. That's just a sad story, man. I mean, I know he's getting up there in age. He's right around 62, I believe. But mm-hmm. But Jeff Tedford, man, there's been some issues for him the past 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and he's got Kalen DeBoer on his coaching tree now, you know. So that's a pretty nice piece of his legacy as well. So, yeah, and Fresno State is supposed to be one of those teams
right.
Competing for the Mountain West title.
Shout out
now,
Mikey Keene.
Exactly. Like, they've got a proven quarterback there, and they've always had really good quarterback play over the Tedford and DeBoer years. And one of those teams that you look at and consider as a dark horse to compete for that Group of Five playoff spot. So, it's a big story also because now we've got two coaches in the Mountain West who have bitten the dust before the season's even started, because Blake Anderson at Utah State sounds like he's very unlikely to coach this season, as he's kind of been put on administrative leave for some issues at Utah State. So the season is still over a month away, and the coaching carousel has already claimed two victims in the Mountain West. But, yeah, definitely, you know, thoughts and prayers for Jeff Tedford because, man, this has been a recurring issue for him throughout his career. And obviously the guy really, really wants to coach and has a passion for it. But, you know, health issues have continued to pop up for him.
And can you shed some light on the Blake Anderson thing at Utah State? Is it Title IX domestic dispute thing? Is that like that's all I have been able to surmise basically from all the stories
right.
I've read, the reports I've read?
Well, I mean, look, reading between the lines a little bit, I think he was just on thin ice because he was caught on tape with some really insensitive remarks
sure.
about sexual assault victims. And when you go down that path and you are not fired and you're fortunate enough to keep your job after something that ugly surfaces, then you're kind of on your last leg. And so he's making the case, like Blake Anderson and his attorneys are going to argue, that he just forgot to sign a piece of paperwork with some Title IX issue, and that, you know, it was just a formality. There was nothing malicious, and this shouldn't be a reason for him to be fired or fired with cause. But I think what it comes down to is that Blake Anderson was really on thin ice and on his last leg because of the sort of the ugly remarks that he made a couple of years ago. And then when you follow that up with something that's not in compliance with a Title IX investigation, then yeah, I mean, you leave yourself vulnerable to be fired. And it's just, I mean, there's so many sides to Blake Anderson. I mean, I know some of your listeners know him well because he was at Arkansas State for many, many years over in Jonesboro, and the man has been through a lot
yes.
of tragedy, and in the last couple of years, he's now been through a lot of controversy. And, you know, this firing or this leave of absence that he's on at Utah State comes right as he's, you know, he and his new wife have had welcomed another child into the world. So anyway, I mean, the Blake Anderson biography book one day will be it'll be quite a saga. But it's sad, obviously, when a coach gets fired and when it was preventable. And I think in this case, it was preventable and to a certain extent, self-inflicted. Because of kind of some of the turmoil that he found himself in, you know, leading up to this.
Yep. Now, last thing for you, David, we got to transition back to College Football 25, because one of my favorite stories I saw published today was from the CBS Sports staff in general. And I think Brad Crawford wrote all of the blurbs here for the American Athletic Conference. But for 134 teams, you guys efforted to give a reason as to why you should use them as an online dynasty for your dynasty. And for Memphis, I thought it was a fair explanation. I think Brad, again, wrote these. He said, with quarterback Seth Hennigan leading arguably the AAC's top offense, who wouldn't want to play with the Tigers in their very expansive playbook? Now, this was my thought, though, as well. Probably the bigger thing here, even. Various uniform and tiger-striped options make Memphis one of the no-brainer fun plays in the AAC. I think I saw it because Memphis did a couple of lead-ins to the game being released ultimately, and they have 17 different uniform combinations.
Wow.
I think 17 alternates, and then they have their home and away, so 19 different uniform combinations. That, you can't beat that. You can't.
No, you can't. Okay, though, but if you're going to play with Memphis as your dynasty, just remember – that, you know, the recruiting classes are not a part of this. So you're going to have to go out and recruit the next quarterback because Antoine Hill is not going to be in the game. So just something to consider. You're going to have to go out and work the portal or find yourself a stud high school quarterback if you play with Memphis as your dynasty.
No, well, yeah, you can handle that. Why not? You do well. You still do well.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I wrote the Sun Belt blurbs.
Yeah.
And, like, I homed in on a couple of Sun Belt teams that have really good young quarterbacks. Because if you're going to start your dynasty, you want to be there for a few years. It helps to have a quarterback that you can grow with. But, obviously, with Memphis, with Seth Hennigan, you can come in and win in your very first year. So that's pretty attractive.
Yeah. Now, I also, my other thought about this entire story, it's got to be really hard to come up with some explanations for some of these teams. My gosh.
Yeah.
Well, like, when we get into, like, the South Alabamas of the world, I can't imagine there's that many draws to going and starting a dynasty with those types of teams.
Well, I wrote the Sun Belt blurbs, and I was like, hey, pretty easy to come up with criteria for App State and Coastal. They're pretty fun mid-major teams. I like Marshall. Like, they've got good history, good colors, all that. But, yeah, coming up with a reason why you should play as Old Dominion? that was tough. But I do like to start with, like, the one-star program, you know, and really build it up. And, you know, hey, look, that we saw that happen in real life at Memphis. Like, you know, Justin Fuente, he took over a quote, one-star program, and, you know, now he built it up, and Memphis the class of the group of five. So a real-life dynasty that played out in front of our eyes.
So you got to Old Dominion. Can I read this? I have it right in front of me. ODU's Jason Henderson is the only Sun Belt representative ranked in the game's top 100 players. The senior middle linebacker is the perfect user-controlled defender. That's your explanation. But I will say, 170 tackles, 19 and a half for loss is ridiculous. That's an insane stat.
Well, and that's the beauty of this game is, you fired up with Old Dominion, and all of a sudden, you know, you have a new level of respect for some random Jason Henderson. And when you start hearing his name talked about in the NFL draft buzz, you'd be like, yeah, I played with him as my middle linebacker on College Football 25.
Yep, for sure, for sure. Well, David, I appreciate it, man. Great stuff as always. We'll do it again on Wednesday.
All right, man. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. That is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college football, college basketball writer for CBS Sports. And he is brought to you every day by Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Get over to Oxbow, conveniently placed right off of Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco station over there, 964 June Road to be exact. Two-story storefront, kind and courteous staff. It is your gift-giving destination of the world. I am not exaggerating. Two stories worth of just phenomenal stuff. Top floor, they're going to have the hunting and outdoor essentials for the adventurous souls, for the hunter in your life. And on the bottom floor, let's start with the clothing. Best brands, Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen & Main. You can go from casual to nice workwear. They have your favorite teams as well. You have Grizzlies, Tigers. You can find Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee. You name it, they have it. Again, over at Oxbow, 964 June Road, off Poplar, on June Road, behind the Amoco station. They also have vintage vinyl for the music lovers, sports memorabilia, a bunch of great card selection. They have a bunch of autographs as well. If you need something for the man cave, they have...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your gold pass at visitkingsisland.com.
If you like to get out and go tailgate, Tiger Lane, the Grove, something like that, they have cups, coolers, koozies, tumblers for you as well. So make sure you get over to Oxbow. And if you don't get into store, you can go online as well. I know a lot of people like online shopping, so go to shopoxbow.com to find their online store. And when you go to check out, fill that shopping cart with whatever your heart desires. Use my promo code when you go to check out, though. The Gabe Show, all caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show. And you'll get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in-store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now, sticking to what we've been talking about, a lot of college football in the news cycle right now, a lot of NCAA college football 25. Over the weekend, Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders were playing on a live stream. And Travis Hunter was talking about Colorado's offensive line after the woes they had last year. We'll go ahead and play a clip next and talk about it. But he didn't say glowing things about them. That's next, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. So Colorado football has been the topic of discussion since last year in college football for an obvious reason. Coach Prime took over. You have a lot of big personalities, and everything is a made-for-TV, made-for-streaming event around there. They have cameras up all the time. Everybody gets a peek behind, the scenes for that Colorado program. And with that, there's been some people on the good side of things that trying to uplift them. There's been some people on the bad side of things saying this thing's never going to work. They don't have it going in the right direction. Now, they finished 4-8 a year ago, and one of the big reasons that was the case, it wasn't Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders was phenomenal, and there's a reason that he's being projected to be one of the top quarterbacks taken in next year's NFL draft. But it had to do with the offensive line not keeping him upright. They didn't have enough in the trenches on both sides of the ball, but mostly on the offensive line. Now, they've tried to rebuild it. They've tried to do some things this offseason, bringing in a bunch of different transfer portal recruits, but there's still going to be questions going into the season. I think that there is a possibility they could get to a bowl game, but I also think there's a possibility we could have a similar year to last year. But Travis Hunter was playing Shedeur Sanders on College Football 25, and there's a clip going around. He ends up getting sacked as Shedeur Sanders, and he sort of let his thoughts be known about what he thinks about this offensive line. Go ahead and play the clip, Connor.
The O-line is realistic. Yes, very realistic.
What you mean?
Kickers can't block for nothing.
They said they cannot block for nothing. They ended up having Shedeur Sanders as the most sacked quarterback last year. So last year definitely holds what he has to say. They were really, really bad. They couldn't, you know, make any lanes in the running game either. So last year they were really miserable. But this year you were hoping it was going to be going in the right direction. And for me, seeing Travis Hunter say this, this does not bode well for where Colorado's going to be along the offensive front this year. If in spring practice you saw something similar, this would lead Travis Hunter to say what he's going to say. So I will go ahead and reaffirm my beliefs here. I think that this could be a 6-6 team, 7-5 team who makes a bowl game and we praise them, or it could be one of the most compelling dumpster fires we've seen in the 21st century here at Colorado going into next season. I don't know which way I'm leaning right now. I think there's a lot of things that will sway that. But the fact that we have, even before the season starts, Travis Hunter saying this about his offensive line, not a good sign. Not a good sign heading into the season for Shedeur Sanders or that offense. There's no question about it.
How do you think that their offensive line room will react to that clip?
Listen, there's two ways this could go, and this is with anything. One, on the positive side, it could be a call to arms, a call to try to challenge them, right, and make them play better. Maybe they'll try to prove a point to Travis Hunter. But on the other side, it could cause a rift in the locker room for the negative. And if there's anything we've seen about this Colorado team, I hate to say it, I'd probably lean to that second one, because they've had a lot of issues. They've had a lot of issues. Guys leaving in the transfer portal, being very unhappy with their situation. You know, there's been multiple reports this offseason of disgruntled former team members and how they were treated. Shedeur Sanders, Shiloh Sanders, all these guys go onto social media and talk trash about the guys who have left the program. I just don't have a whole lot of confidence that it's going to be some call to the arms for this offensive line and they're going to play out of their head because of it. I just don't see that being the case. I think that Travis Hunter saying that, he said it in passing, probably hoping it wouldn't go viral, but you have to have a little more awareness in that situation. You know this is going to be watched. You know that people are going to clip it, and you know that it's going to be front page news as soon as you say something like that. But I don't see this, Connor, and I hate to be the cynic here. I don't see this being some, you know, call to action for this offensive line. There's been too many examples of this working the opposite direction within that Colorado program for me to ignore it.
I don't think that you're being a cynic in thinking that the offensive line is not going to be happy with being put on blast during, you know, a live stream of one of the biggest video game launches we've had in a very long time. That would piss me off, too.
And can we be honest about the clip itself? If you go back and watch this clip, Travis Hunter ran himself into a sack.
100%.
Like, it was miserable gameplay. It was horrible. And he was losing 36-7 to Shedeur in this particular situation. Not very good at the game, but he drops back and within 1 second bails out of the pocket, runs left, tries to run forward. It was kind of a good Shedeur Sanders impression from last year, though.
That's
where he's
what
bailing from
said.
The pocket immediately, trying to run his way away from a sack, but he runs himself directly into a sack. I thought it was user error that allowed Shedeur Sanders to go get a sack in that situation. I don't think it had anything to do with the offensive line and the gameplay there at Colorado and the offensive linemen that they had up front.
I tend to agree.
Yeah, Travis Hunter, that was bad. I think I could beat Travis Hunter in a one-on-one game at College Football 25 after watching what Shedeur Sanders
maybe
did.
So.
Picked him apart. Did you see any of the other games, by the way, for
I
the
did.
Lead-in?
Well, the only one that I was actually able to watch, I saw some clips of the Michigan versus Michigan State one, which I think was Edwards versus like some guy in the MMT or MMG or something like that. Don't know who he is, but that one was like a barn burner. It was like 7-7 in the fourth quarter, so it was like classic. It's like, yep, that's that conference football. And then I was able to watch Dan Soder play Shane Gillis, but it was a bit of an upset because Shane didn't use Notre Dame. He used Utah, and Dan Soder used Arizona and lost 44-7.
Yeah,
so Shane just whooped him the entire time, so it wasn't really much fun to watch. So to be quite honest, I just fast forwarded through most of the video. So I don't know about the rest of the game or the results, but the two that I actually was able to see, neither were very good. But the game itself
looks phenomenal. And Memphis football was putting out a lot this weekend. They had like a 90-yard run there that they showed of Mario Anderson Jr. is going to be the lead back going into next year. But thanks to our wonderful research assistant, who's also in the game, Colby Cox.
It's because of his high awareness.
He gave me 7 pages worth of ratings for the Memphis football team. Do we want to cover these?
Yes.
And see if they're fair or not. And we'll just say fair or not for just going down the list.
Okay.
89 for Seth Hennigan.
Fair.
I think very fair.
Fair.
I think very good. I think if you put him in that 90 range, maybe you're overdoing it. Now, if he has a couple of really good games, I think we're going to move these ratings up. I think it's very possible we could move Seth Hennigan up in these ratings.
I saw a few people over the weekend that got early access to it. A few people, and by a few, I mean just one that I saw, but let's say a few for Tell Your Story, did a season simulation, and guess who won the Heisman Trophy?
Seth?
Seth Hennigan.
Wow.
He had 49 touchdowns.
How many? Did we have the interception number?
I didn't pay attention. I saw 49
interceptions
and like,
to two INTs.
I like blacked out.
Yeah, exactly. The second highest,
like 17 interceptions, something like that.
Second highest rated player after coming off a 1,000-yard receiving season, Rock Taylor at 88. Your guy, Rock, at 88.
Higher.
You think higher?
Higher.
Really?
No, 88's fair.
88 seems relatively fair. His speed at 88, too. I think that's pretty fair.
Pretty good.
He's a possession guy who is a very, very strong wide receiver. Third highest rated, Xavier Hill. I can tell you at 86, I'm going to go fair. 86 overall for Xavier Hill, starting right guard for the Tigers. Well, and he's been moving around a lot. And he's been picked, you know, first team all conference by a lot of the preseason magazines. Damir Blankensy, 85 with a. I think the speed's probably a little low here. I'm going to go unfair for the speed rating.
If Rock's an 88, I would put him at like an 86. He should be like a little higher.
The overall. The speed though, 90. You're probably your best deep threat on the team, who outran a lot of people last year. You gotta go 93, 94 for Damir.
I would agree
in that situation. But I think the overall, it's okay. Chandler Martin, I think this is unfair. I'll go. This will be my first real unfair. 85 for Chandler Martin. First team all conference. Led the team in tackles. Best player on the team at times, best player on the field at times, and most of the games he played, 85 overall. I think that needs to be boosted up close to Seth Hennigan. If you pay attention to college football and the way he played last year, he should probably be up there close to a 90, Chandler Martin.
I'm okay with it.
He's all over the field. Yeah. You're okay? Are you okay?
I'm saying I'm okay with your reasoning.
Okay.
Yes.
Mario Anderson Jr., 84 overall.
Seems low?
We'll have to see. I think they gave him a favor, though, with his speed rating.
90?
Yeah. Sutton Smith, I think, is at a 92. That doesn't make much sense. I think Sutton is a lot. If Mario is a 90 speed, then probably put Sutton somewhere around a 95 to 96, unless you're going to lower it and keep Sutton at 90. And then I'll finish on this one. We have Davion Ross, cornerback who got hurt last year, coming back, 83 overall. He's the fastest guy on the team, speed rating-wise, with a 96. I asked Colby about it. We asked him off the air. You think that's a fair rating? He says, right there, if not higher. He's very fast. So I'll go Davion Ross at an 83, and then the transfer. Sorry, I lied. Last one here, Elijah Herring at 83, transfer linebacker. Chandler Martin and Elijah Herring being two of your top 10 rated guys in that linebacking core, I think that bodes well for what your run defense is going to look like and what that linebacking core is going to
be. So what we're saying is those that are rated highly are fair, and all of the ones that are rated lower are unfair. Just, you know, there's no bias here with us, though.
Well, no, most of these are fair. I just think Chandler Martin at 85 is just brutal.
I just have no frame of reference. I don't know if, you know what I mean? Like, what are the rest of the teams? What are their ratings? I think that's what's going to tell me the most about if it's fair or not.
And then Colby listed as a tight end. We worst rating on the team.
That's just,
I'm sorry, brother. I know you're over there. Oh gosh,
he doesn't have headphones on.
Yeah,
he can't hear you.
Colby, I'm sorry. 55 overall.
That's just messed up.
70 speed, 74 strength. Not bad. I've never seen him in a weight room though. I'd have to see his max numbers on that. Let's see, 71 agility. Okay, 74 acceleration. Awareness best on the team though. I don't know where they got that from. He must be good in the classroom.
He's going to help with the GPA.
He'll help with the GPA in the classroom. That's 82 awareness.
GPAs matter, right? In Dynasty? He's going to be my number one student.
Shout out, research assistant.
That's messed up.
Extraordinaire Colby Cox
in studio today.
They couldn't
take a couple extra days to put the long snappers in the game?
I don't know. They have a weird policy on it.
And what policy?
I need it, too, because sometimes when you bring in, well, the policy is they put the center as the long snapper.
Why?
I don't know. It's very dumb. Now that we have real names in here, why are we even doing this?
Who cares?
But also, I did ask Colby if his second position would be tight end. He said absolutely not. So we're going to have to figure that out at the break, exactly what he'd be playing if he wasn't a long snapper.
I found out, he told me that some players didn't make the cut. I didn't know that. Like across the country, you had to apply, and some people would find out in an email that he said you either got an email that said you got the money and you get the game and you're in the game, or you got one that was like, sorry, bro. You know how much of a bummer it would be to be a player that got an email that was like, sorry, bro. It's like,
and you don't even get a free copy of the game.
I quit. I'd be like, the whole reason
this isn't worth it.
College football.
Yeah.
I mean,
not for the scholarship.
If you don't make the game,
not for the NIL money, not for any of that. I wanted a copy of the game at $600.
Let's be honest here. If you didn't make the game, I highly doubt you're an NIL scholarship player.
Yeah.
You're probably a, you know,
a walk-on guy. In all likelihood. And they're talking about getting rid of walk-ons, which breaks my heart, too.
Don't. They better not.
They better not. That would make me very mad, especially considering what I got to see at the University of Memphis with all the walk-ons. Anthony Miller, Alan Cross, Phil Mayhew, just to name a couple. I mean, there's been so many good walk-ons at the University of Memphis. I just think, you know, around the country, that would really hurt. That would really hurt the product, and we'd have less stories. You know, we'd have less as far as, like, you know, Baker Mayfield.
Do you mean
was a
in like
walk-on.
Real life?
Yeah, in real life.
Oh, I thought you meant in the game.
In real life.
Oh, I didn't realize this was a thing in real life.
There's a discussion going around.
Man, do you really care about this with the video game?
No, there's a discussion going around right now.
Oh, that's silly.
About
that's
them
silly.
Potentially getting rid of walk-ons. I don't think it'll actually pass. I don't think that's something that anybody's going to get behind, but that's a real discussion happening right now out there for college football.
No, that's dumb.
I think so, too. Let's go ahead and grab a break, though, and when we come back, we'll go ahead and wrap up hour number two with Small Talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m., except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Before I get to sad news and the movie watching realm, and it's not really sad, it's something that was definitely on the way for a long time. I do have to give a shout out to Kalen Culpepper, who got drafted number 21 overall in the MLB draft from SBA, went to K-State, shortstop. Shout out to him, man. That's really cool to see. It's really cool to see. Ends up with the Twins, night he'll never forget. We'll see if he sort of moves through the ranks really quickly and gets up to the bigs here soon. But shout out to him. That was fun to see. Now, in the movie watching business, did you see what shut down over the weekend? What is officially no more?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Redbox, the kiosk rental version of Blockbuster. Not surprising that it's gone, but it's officially gone, Connor. I'll say this. I loved Redbox through my high school days and into college. I haven't seen a Redbox kiosk in a long, long time. They have got rid of them around Memphis. But, you know, I mean, it's just tough, man. They did good business for a long, long time, and then it's no longer. With streaming and everything else, how readily available everything is, Redbox was never going to last.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but you can find pretty much every movie under the sun on Amazon. It's
and if I'm
very
going
rare.
To get a DVD, I'm not renting a DVD.
I'm purchasing.
Purchasing a DVD.
I am a big proponent of
or a Blu-ray
of physical media, as everybody knows.
Sure.
I always go and do the Criterion sale every year. I go and buy DVDs as much as I can, but it is sad to see Redbox go.
Redbox is cooked.
R.I.P.
Cooked. I used to stop just about every Friday to find something for me in high school and even leading into college.
I would say high school and early college was when I used it the most.
Yes. Then Netflix and everything came along, and I got every single subscription under the sun, and they were cooked. They were cooked from then on. It was a good thought process.
Problem.
When did they? There was 22 years in business, I think.
Wow.
So they came around in 2002.
Basically right when Blockbuster was beginning to die. They were like, you know, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing that Blockbuster did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think there's still one Blockbuster store out there. I don't know if we're going to have
there
any.
There is one. There is one.
I don't think there will be any Redbox kiosks.
Probably
not. Is it the original Blockbuster that's still around?
No.
The, Where is it at?
No, it's not the original.
Would you know
one.
This?
Is it the one that's in Alaska, maybe?
Well, do they not have streaming services in Alaska? No one pays for streaming services there?
It's in Oregon.
In Oregon.
I wasn't far. Okay, yeah. But like Bend, Oregon has the last one.
Oh, and you know about Bend, Oregon. That is the per capita capital of microbreweries. There you go.
Of course I knew that.
Put that to knowledge. They have one on every corner.
Every white guy is born with that knowledge.
Yes.
It's part of our DNA.
The IPA capital of the world.
We walk into a city and we can name you how many. It's like if you throw toothpicks on the ground.
Yes.
If we walk into a city, we can name you as many breweries as they have immediately.
Yeah, I hear that 100%. Let's go ahead and get to hour number three. We'll open it up talking some Grizzlies, talking some NBA with the Grizzlies play-by-play voice for the Grizzlies Radio Network. That would be Eric Hasseltine. He's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Version of Blockbuster. Not surprising that it's gone, but it's officially gone, Connor. I'll say this. I loved Redbox through my high school days and into college. I haven't seen a Redbox kiosk in a long, long time. They have got rid of them around Memphis. But, you know, I mean, it's just tough, man. They did good business for a long, long time, and then it's no longer. With streaming and everything else, how readily available everything is, Redbox was never going to last.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but you can find pretty much every movie under the sun on Amazon. It's
and if I'm
very
going
rare.
To get a DVD, I'm not renting a DVD.
I'm purchasing.
Purchasing a DVD.
I am a big proponent of
or a Blu-ray
of physical media. As everybody knows,
sure.
I always go and do the Criterion sale every year. I go and buy DVDs as much as I can, but it is sad to see Redbox go.
Redbox is cooked.
R.I.P.
Cooked. I used to stop just about every Friday to find something for me in high school and even
I would say high school and early college was when I used it the most.
Yes. Then Netflix and everything came along, and I got every single subscription under the sun, and they were cooked. They were cooked from then on. It was a good thought process.
Problem.
When did they? There was 22 years in business, I think.
Wow.
So they came around in 2002.
Basically right when Blockbuster was beginning to die. They were like, you know, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing that Blockbuster did.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, I think there's still one Blockbuster store out there. I don't know if we're gonna have
there
any.
There is one.
I don't think there'll be any Redbox kiosks.
Probably
the
not.
Is it the original Blockbuster that's still around?
No.
Where is it at?
No,
do you know?
It's not the original.
Would you know
one.
This?
Is it the one that's in Alaska? Maybe.
Oh, well, do they not have streaming services in Alaska? No one pays for streaming services there?
It's in Oregon.
In Oregon.
I wasn't far. Okay, yeah. But like Bend, Oregon has the last one.
Oh, and you know about Bend, Oregon. That is the per capita capital of microbreweries. There you go.
Of course I knew that.
Put that to knowledge. They have one on every corner.
Every white guy is born with that knowledge.
Yes.
It's part of our DNA.
The IPA capital of the world.
We walk into a city and we can name you how many. It's like if you throw toothpicks on the ground. If we walk into a city, we can name you as many breweries as they have immediately.
Yeah, I hear that 100%. Let's go ahead and get to hour number three. We'll open it up talking some Grizzlies, talking some NBA with the Grizzlies play-by-play voice for the Grizzlies Radio Network. That would be Eric Hasseltine. He's next.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.